Okay. As far as being a leader, tried to think of different ways, and Norv said about the Stepping Up series, and I tried to think of it, and it's been a little while since I went through that, and I couldn't remember a whole lot of exactly what it said, but one thing that kind of stood out to me is courage, and that's one thing in a leader that I guess just stands out to me that maybe I need more of too. But yeah, what is a godly leader? What does it look like to me? I kind of chose a little bit to read some of Joshua and Caleb. So I'm going to read a little bit in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, just a couple verses. I don't have a whole lot, but Numbers 13, verses 25 to 33. And they returned, they had sent 12 men to go spy out the land of Canaan to see once what it was like and what they were up against, and that's where this comes in. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We come unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. We are in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we are in their sight." And then chapter 14, verse 7 to 9 is a little bit of what Joshua and Caleb responded to it. "And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we have possessed, which we pass through to search it, is an exceeding good land, and the Lord delight in us, that he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Excuse me. So when they, Caleb and Aaron, Joshua, they didn't focus on what all the other people were focusing on. The other men that went to spy out the land, they focused not on the difficulties and the trials and the things that they'd have to go through to get to the land, but they focused on one thing, and that was on God. They focused on trusting in him that he would fight their battles for them. I'm sure they could see the same thing that all the rest of the guys did, that there was giants in the land, that they were a lot more and they had walled cities, but they didn't focus on that. They focused on where their strength was. They focused on God. And I had tried to think of what a godly leader would look like, and I just started writing down some characteristics that stood out to me that, and this is, just kind of my own words, but there's probably a lot more. There's a lot of things that describe a godly leader. But yeah, these are some things that I thought of that would make a godly leader, that not necessarily things that I'm doing the best in, but yeah. The attributes of a godly leader: he's kind, he's caring, he's encouraging, he's ready to listen, stands for what's right no matter what. He's a humble man, he looks out for the good of others, he's giving, he's committed, self-controlled, he lays down his own will for those around him, looks out for the good of others, he's understanding, controls his anger, does not constantly change his mind, but is steady, respectful, provides for his family if he's a father, and he trains his children well. He's also patient. Yeah, those are just some things that I know I want more of those in my life. And also, ladies can be leaders in a different way. But yeah, a lot of those things can go for them as well. And that's all I have.
Well, good evening, everyone. So, a godly leader. What is a godly leader? Well, first of all, something I thought of when I was sitting down there listening to Dad talk about Gideon. I like how God uses people that you would not think would be the best option for such a huge task, something like that. Gideon, it said he was of the smallest tribe of Manasseh, and he was the least of the family. So someone that's younger, they're smaller, you know, it just seems like he shouldn't be the one going out in there fighting the battle. He's not the biggest guy. But I like how God uses people like that. Also, David, I had to think of. He wasn't even around when Samuel came to anoint one of, they knew it was going to be of the family of, I can't even think of, anyway, and he wasn't even there because he was out watching his father's sheep. They thought it would be his oldest brother or someone else, but I like how God used smaller people or people you wouldn't think would be the person to complete a big task. So one thing I thought of, I think we are all called to be godly leaders. As Christians, in some way or another, I think we are all called to be a godly leader. So what is a godly leader? I think it's pretty self-explanatory. They're godly. They walk with God. They have a spiritual connection with God. They talk with him. Have devotions, they obey his word, follow his call, and so they're, yeah, connected with God. They're a leader, someone who leads out. They, like Scott said, they look out for the good of others. They teach and help other people in, or a group or an individual to get to a goal. And I think the goal here would be to witness to other people, to bring them to Christ, or to help other believers to dive into a further spiritual walk with Christ. And, of course, we are all called to be witnesses and to bring other people to Christ because of the Great Commission. It calls all of us in Matthew 28:19 to go into all nations and teach and baptize. And we also are supposed to help each other along, to exhort one another and to just help each other with our burdens, to share burdens with each other. And so we're all called in some way or another to be godly leaders. Some have more of a responsibility, I do believe, as a godly leader. Some people, such as preachers, deacons, bishops, they are over a whole church. And those people will come to them, ask them questions, and so they have more responsibility. Parents, they also have a huge opportunity to witness to their kids, to bring them up in the way that is right, and to be a leader in the home and to be a godly leader. Siblings, older siblings, have a responsibility to the younger ones to lead out a life that is godly, that is righteous. If they're not leading a righteous life, how are they the younger ones supposed to see where they're supposed to be going as well. So they need to, we all need to lead a righteous life so that people can follow us as well. They put others first, like I said already. I wanted to read Philippians 2, 1 to 4. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So, like, it shows that clearly in verse 4, we're not supposed to be looking for out for big number one. We're supposed to be looking out for everyone else and to be helping them. And they're also not someone that's out there looking for attention. A godly leader will be maybe behind the scenes doing things. They're not out there for the glory of it. They're there to build the kingdom of God. So I think Jesus would be, if we're looking at a godly leader, I think Jesus would be the perfect example, because he led a perfect life. And I know we can't do that, but we can lead a life of victory. One thing I thought, godly leaders will recognize that the decisions we make affect other people. We're like, that also coincides with looking out for others, because the things we do, people are watching us. And if we're making bad choices, they'll start maybe justifying or doing, they're like, well, look at him. He's not doing the right thing. So they can affect other people. And consequences fall not only on us, but also other people. So they realize that the decisions they make affect other people. And that's all I had.
Good evening. Really glad to be here tonight. Really enjoyed what we've heard so far. I feel like Delvin covered a few things that I really liked, a few of the things he said. But when Nora first asked me to do this, the first thing that came to my mind is, boy, I am really not the right person to be talking about this. But in studying it, I think it was the best thing for me, because one of the main things I had to think of, like Delvin said, is we are all leaders. We are all called to that. We all have, in some way, there is a way that we are leading, whether it's one person, whether it's a congregation, church, we all have that responsibility. So what comes to mind when I think of a great leader, whether it's biblical times, whether it's somebody we know today, and I had to think, my mind a lot of the time immediately goes to David and his life and the story. And part of that is because, you know, it's not just a story that we have written from a historical standpoint, because we have the Psalms that David himself wrote. So we get to see how his mind was thinking through some of these things that he went through. And, you know, if you just read a story about David, it may look that, boy, he seemed to have things under control. He knew what was going on. He made decisions and was a good leader. But, you know, if you read the Psalms and read some of the things that went through his mind, you know, he questioned a lot and he wondered, he asked God why. And that's one of the reasons I really like David and the example that was there, because you really get to see a look into his life. And, you know, he led the Israelites, he led this nation, and probably a very good, in my mind, example of leadership for us. So thinking of David, and what are some of the characteristics that you see in his life that are an example of good leadership? And the first one I thought of is a dependence on God. That is probably one of the greatest strengths that we can have. And I had to think the example of fighting Goliath. You know, an entire army, an entire nation was trembling before this one person. And David came up and said, "This is not right. He is slandering my God, and nobody is standing up to him, but with God's power, I can." And that dependence on God is, it's one of the greatest things that we have, because we have the greatest ally. And another example is a willingness to wait on God's timing. I was talking to somebody, and this came up, the story of when David was hiding in the cave and Saul came into the cave and slept there. And in my mind, immediately goes, well, duh, you kill him. This is the man that is hunting you and trying to kill you, and you have this perfect opportunity. Why would you not take that? But David realized that Saul was appointed by God. Saul was the king of Israel. And, you know, even though there was this injustice against him, David was willing to wait on God's timing to put him as the king of Israel. Another example is acknowledging when he was wrong and asking for forgiveness. And, you know, this can be a tremendous example. And I think we all know the story of Uriah and Bathsheba. And, you know, you hear the David was a man after God's own heart. And this was a man who sent his army into a position where he knew they would be killed. He knew that the army was going to fail. And that was the kind of choice that he made. But you see, as soon as he was approached with this mistake, he was repentive of that. And, you know, I think us today, we have people watching us, and sometimes that influence of us being able to see that, okay, we made a mistake. You know what? As a leader and in the roles that we have, we may not always make the right choice. I know I probably won't. But for us to be able to look at that and say, you know what, yes, I made a mistake here, and take responsibility for that and ask for forgiveness from where it needs to come, I really think can be a very powerful influence on those around us. And I think, you know, for those following you, I think it can, they see the mistake, but they see the repentance there also, and that can also be a huge influence. Like Delvin was saying, we are all in some position of leadership. And this is one point that was brought out during the course, is we all have someone is watching us. Nothing we do is going to, or I should say, most of the things we do are not going to affect just us. Like Delvin was saying, there's many different positions, whether it's in church, whether it's in work, whether it's in family, home. We all have a call and a responsibility of leadership. And I don't think that there is any way that we can get around that. And went back to Exodus 18. This is when Moses is leading, and it says, "Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and ye shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens." And this was, trying to remember the story now. I think it was Moses' father was talking to him about delegating responsibility throughout the Israelites. And I had to think, you know, here he's saying, you know, not all these leaders were going to be responsible for thousands of people. But he said, you know, there's different sets. And he didn't give different qualifications for the person who leads 1,000. He didn't give a different set of instructions or qualification for the one who leads 10. All of these men, he said, find men who are men of truth, who hate dishonest gain, who place others over themselves, and these are the men that you want leading, no matter how many that are under them. And so, you know, we may have, like we were saying, it. We all have that leadership. And was going through, and one person, kind of enjoy history, and one general out of Vietnam, Hal Moore, is very well known for his leadership there. And some of the quotes or some of the things, he had a whole list of, I guess, points that he said of a good leadership. And some of those, I took a few of them. I really liked them. The first one is, a person in a position of authority does not automatically become immediately respected or trusted. This is earned. And it's not, I don't think we become a leader or a true leader just by getting a title. It's something that we earn through respect and through the trust of others around us. And also another one is, every person in an organization is as important and necessary to a mission as the next person. That goes from the top to the bottom. Everybody here has a place. Everybody here is important. There's nobody here that you can set off to the side and does not have a point or a place. And going along with a good leader, never deprive a person of their self-respect. You know, being encouraging through your leadership and not, you know, putting down those that are following you. And then one of his was, leaders must lead. Be the first boots on the ground and the last boots off. You can't sit and lead from some position way off. And that is why, as Delvin said, one of the greatest examples we have of leadership is Christ, because he came down to earth and he was, he went through the things that we go through. He lived the life that we do. And just in closing, you know, just a reminder and encouragement to take up that call that we have, because we are up against the greatest enemy that we can face. The devil is not something or someone to be taken lightly. We are up against an enemy that is truly powerful, but with God, we have more, and we have the assurance of victory through him. That is all I had. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer yet. Dear God, we just come to you tonight. Just thank you for this service in this church, Lord, that we can gather and to worship you and hear about you. And God, I just pray tonight that, as we've heard, that we could be the leaders that we need to be in this church and also in this community, Lord, that we could shine your light and be representatives of you in all that we do. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.